Recently, Lingo Dean and Riandon Kennedy sat down with author, speaker, coach, and CEO Mark Perner for an in-depth conversation. Topics range from Perner's book, Answering Why, Unleashing Passion, Purpose, and Performance in Younger Generations, how to engage students into becoming career-bound rather than just college-bound, and much more. Stay tuned for CCG Digital's presentation of A Conversation with Mark Perner, featuring Lingo Dean and Riandon Kennedy.
Good morning. It's Monday, August the 26th today, and we're talking to Mark C. Perner. He's an author, speaker, coach, and CEO, and a leading voice on today's unique intergenerational workforce. And we're going to be talking a bit about his book, Answering Why, Unleashing Passion, Purpose, and Performance in Younger Generations. And we're also going to be looking at specifically at how to engage students in becoming career-bound and not college-bound. It's back to school, and all we hear about at this point in time is back to college, back to high school, and all that sort of thing. So we're going to look at careers and why we should be thinking about careers and perhaps not so much college. Mr. Perner, welcome to the show. Tell us why you decided to turn your attention to engaging students in becoming career bound more so than college bound.
Well, first off, Lingo, it's an honor to be with you today. I want to frame it a little bit this way. Most everything you hear about young people today, and that's 39 and younger, is largely negatively slanted. They're lazy, they're entitled. I go completely the other way. I think they're the most incredible generations to come down the pike. I think they are the most intelligent, resourceful, and pitbull-like generations that we've ever seen in this country. When they see a want to in their life, they will move heaven and earth to get to that want to. Our challenge, of course, as parents, educators, and employers, is getting them to want something. And so in the context of your question is to, you know, I'm a big fan of kids who want to go off to a four-year degree and beyond and go to college. The challenge in this country is that it's become a very expensive proposition, and not everyone is successful there. And so what I spoke about at Harvard in the last several years is, and I spoke to a large group of governors and lieutenant governors and K-12 statewide superintendents and chancellors of community college systems and Fortune 100 top executives, was the notion in this country that we're making kids college and career ready. We hear this in high schools and middle schools, and we hear this in districts across America that we're focusing on making kids college and career ready. And on the surface, I love that phrase. It sounds great. It's wonderful. It sounds noble. But nobody in the country reads the word "and" in between the word college and the word career. Most people read that as a pathway, that the only way to be successful is to go to college and then get a career. And so what I spoke about to a robust applause that day was that I don't think we should be making kids college and career ready in this country. I think we should be making them career ready, period. Now, all kinds of wonderful careers go through four-year universities and baccalaureate degrees and masters and PhDs and so on. But there are wonderful careers and occupations that go through two-year associate's degrees and community colleges and technical colleges. But there's also an amazing number of wonderful careers and occupations that go through certifications and advanced certifications and licensures and apprenticeships. So we should be, you know, denoting all of these things and demonstrating all of these options and opportunities to young people today so that they can choose the right one for them based on their own unique interests, talents, and abilities.
Thank you for that. Over the past couple of years, there seems to be a rift growing between those who think that, well, you don't really have to go to college. College has become so expensive, as you mentioned previously. And so it's now become a choice almost. Do I go to college and get ready for those really high costs afterwards, the debt and everything afterwards? Or do I not go to college and do something else? But it doesn't have to be that way. And then you have sort of like a group of that are now saying, well, you know, college doesn't have to be always have to be an option. There are lots of things to do. But the thing is that maybe the way the argument is being framed is not bubbling up the same way. It's not floating up the same way as you're framing the argument about making students career bound as opposed to college bound. So how do you reframe the argument so it doesn't become, well, you don't have to go to college and instead say something else?
Well, I tell you, the way I frame all of this, and I really don't frame it as an argument, I frame it as really the world has changed. The world has changed, and education and workforce development systems must adapt accordingly and shift the paradigm of what we think about preparing young people for success in their life. To me, the number one goal of any young person is for them to become self-reliant and independent. To do that, they must follow a light at the end of the tunnel in their life that leads to whatever career and lifestyle they're looking for. And so there are lots of ways to achieve that in their life. I don't advocate for any one kind of education over another, because if you listen to the arguments that are out there in the world today, everyone is advocating for a specific piece of education. You know, higher education wants higher education. You know, people at this level want this level. People at this level want this level. And so everybody is saying that this is more important. I'm saying that the world has shifted in a way that young people today need three critical things. They must have robust academic knowledge, paired with powerful technical and professional skills. And it's really the combination of the three of those things that give them truly a competitive advantage in this changing economy of the United States. Literally right now, entering first grade in this country, 65% of first graders are already predicted that their first career occupation will be in a field that does not exist today. I mean, that's extraordinary with the rise of AI and all of the different technologies and the things that are happening. And so the workforce of the future is actually going to train, you know, for the industry that you're going into and for even the organization that you're being hired by is going to be doing all the specific training for that particular career or occupation. But what those employers need more than anything is someone who has the robust academic knowledge, the critical thinking skills. They show up on time consistently with work ethic, leadership, communication, work-life balance, stress management. They know how to network. They're very flexible. And they know that they can then take that person and teach them whatever they want. And so our education systems and our workforce development systems now have to come together, create the guided pathways that are necessary so that a young person can get anywhere they want to go, again, based on their own unique interests, talents, and abilities. And so I frame it as it all needs to be on the table, and the person themselves has to determine, what do I like to do? What would I like to shoot for? What seems interesting and intriguing to me? And then getting the education necessary to get to wherever it is they want to go.
I don't know how much you know about Career Communications Group. This is a diversity company that has existed for more than 30 years. And three big products are, of course, the magazines. And the magazines come alive, I like to say, twice a year. So for the Black Engineer magazine, for instance, comes alive during Black History Month. You have all of these big employers who are doing wonderful things in terms of workforce development, and they're making it sort of almost cradle to the grave now. Initially, it wasn't as ambitious. They kind of started off in college and then worked their way up, but now they go even further back. So they're doing K-8 programs and K-20 programs at the same time. So you have that side of it. But where is the disconnect between what you're saying and what the community colleges have been saying for a long time and what the employers are saying and about not being able to find enough people with the right skills that they need?
Well, the disconnect, I think, comes in understanding the younger generations as part of this. So I'm a generational expert. I mean, I understand Generation Y, Millennials, and Generation Z coming up right behind them. And they are truly what I call the Y generation. WHY generation, because they need an answer for that question for everything they do. And so they are going to create some kind of light at the end of the tunnel for their life. And right now, college cannot be the light at the end of the tunnel. And that's part of the disconnect of where we are in this country, is that we are making the focus of almost every high school in America is to get your kids to college, not necessarily knowing what they're going to do there, but that they just need to go. And that is a huge disconnect, because there must be purpose in everything that a young person does today, which is why I call them the Y generation, W-H-Y generation. And so in order to create purpose in our, you know, in our elementary to middle schools, from our middle schools to high schools, there must be purpose, and there must be early career exploration. There must be an opportunity for young people to see what's out there, either via job shadowing or internships or apprenticeships. They need to see what's possible, where they can go at a time that it's least expensive in their life to do that career exploration, as opposed to when it's most expensive in their life, which is while the financial clock is ticking at college. So if they do that, they can then determine, you know, what kind of an avenue do they want to start working towards, and then get, they simply need the education and training that is necessary at that point. And they, so they invest wisely, they go with passion, they go with purpose, and then they're in a better position to actually get it done. And that's not what's happening in America today. Most young people go off to college not really knowing why they're going there. Some have an inkling and some have direction, but most do not. Most go and they do career exploration at $2,200 or $2,400 or, you know, $3,000 a month, and they're collecting all this debt. And they don't really know what they're getting out of it. And then ultimately, many of them don't complete. And even those that complete end up working in a field later on that has nothing to do with what they initially went to school and got a degree for. So that's, to me, is where the disconnect is. It connects to purpose, so that wherever they're going there for a specific reason.
You're listening to A Conversation with Mark Perna, featuring Lengo Dean and Rayondin Kennedy. Presented by CCG Digital.
That's great. So I would like you to sort of say everything you said just now, but in a kind of different way. And this is answering the Y generation. So you're talking to a young person and they're saying, why do I need to go to college? Well, you need to get apprenticeships and workforce training. And so where do you go for that? When do you do apprenticeships? Where do you do workforce training? How do you do it? What should be done? Can you answer all those questions for us?
I'm not sure I can answer them all exactly in the way you want. I'm guessing you want me to answer them. But I mean, let me say it in this way, is that the first conversation that has to happen with any young person is, what kind of a lifestyle do they want to get to? Because there are two key things in the light at the end of the tunnel, and it's, what is career and what is lifestyle? Lifestyle is where most young people are going to start their thought process as to what they want to do in their life. Yeah. So career and lifestyle is where most young people are starting their light at the end of the tunnel. But lifestyle is more important to them than anything. More than half of every decision a young person makes today in this country is based on how it affects their lifestyle. Career has actually become a lifestyle decision. And so understanding that is, you really have to start the conversation about lifestyle. Now, there's a huge spectrum of lifestyle you can hear from anyone in this country. On the one hand, you know, end of the spectrum, there are people who want, you know, all the money in the world and they want to live like a Kardashian. On the other end of the spectrum, you know, someone would be thrilled with two hot meals a day. And then there's everything in between. It all depends on where they're from, what, you know, what their culture is, you know, where they were brought up, you know, all kinds of factors like that factor into what the lifestyle is that they find attractive. But once they understand what lifestyle they want, then they can dovetail that and try to find a perfect intersection of what kind of a career or occupation would best suit them to achieve the lifestyle they want and give them the self-reliance and independence that they're looking for. And so then you can have a conversation about, well, there's lots of ways to do that. You know, there's apprenticeships, there's 2-year degrees, there's 4-year degrees, there's certifications, there's licensures, there's starting at an entry level position and working your way up. There's lots of unconventional ways to get where you're going. And it's those conversations that we have to have with young people so that they can best choose. Now, I'm not an expert at apprenticeships and exactly how they work. I know lots of companies that have them. I know lots of young people that have taken them, and they've been wildly successful at gearing young people for success in the workforce. And they're wonderful on ramps into the business and industry world that allows them then to determine where else they want to go. Because they may start with an apprenticeship and they may move into additional education. They may move into higher education. They may move into a degree. There's lots of ways, but every step someone takes down their tunnel towards the light at the end of their tunnel, they are getting the academic knowledge that is necessary, the technical and professional skills that are necessary, and that is giving them the attributes to give them the ability then to calibrate their journey as they go.
Wonderful. I know what you're saying. I'm sold on it. I've been sold on it a long time, and I know it, different educational departments around the country, city, county, what have you, state. It's just really difficult. There's sometimes so many philosophical differences, even though they all want to get to the same point, but it's just how you get there. How much buy-in have you had across the country for your message?
It's been actually remarkable. So my book Answering Why has been number one in every category that it's in. It's won 7 national book awards in just the last 4 months. And it's won in 5 different categories, including education, career, parenting, business, and communications and relationships. I'm very proud of that. I've also do 70 keynote speeches a year across North America. I don't know, probably 7 out of 10, presentations end in a standing ovation. And I don't say that to impress you. I just say that to impress upon you. As I share this message, as I talk about this message and this narrative about how we unleash passion, purpose, and performance in younger generations, it's been wildly received. And people, it's resonating. It's actually, changing and shifting the paradigm of how people think. And that's really what the goal of the book was, so that we could better connect with young people and give them a bright light at the end of their tunnel, but making them an important part of the journey down that tunnel.
That's great. Years ago, going back years in Europe, and I know Germany was one place that got apprenticeships right, and they got workforce training right. So Germany is one place where it's not always about going to a 4-year college or 2-year college. It's about getting those apprenticeships really in really early and getting that workforce training in really early. So are there other places in the world that you know about that are getting this right?
Yeah, no, I would agree with you, Lango. I think it's, Germany is probably the one I would have highlighted as well. I mean, I think they do a fabulous job of that. But again, to me, keep in mind that there's lots of ways to get to success in this country. Apprenticeships is one of them. College is one of them. Certifications are another one. Licensures are another one. There's lots of ways to get there. And young people today are, especially Generation Z, which goes from fetus to 18 years old, almost 19 years old now. They are going to find unconventional ways to get where they want to go. And they may seem strange to some of us. I'll give you a great example. I know a young woman by the name of Megan in Davenport, Iowa, who I met on a tour of John Deere, a John Deere factory in Davenport, Iowa. We were walking along. She's 24 years old. She's been there for 5 years. I said, "How did you get to John Deere? What's your story?" And she said, "Well, sophomore year of high school, she was doing well academically, but she wanted to learn welding. And so she took a welding class, which followed up by a second welding class and a third and a fourth. And she eventually completed all of the classes. She got to the capstone. She got all her certifications. And when she graduated from high school, she went directly to work as a welder for John Deere. And as she was welding for a year, she realized that John Deere will now pay, once you've been there for 12 months, will pay for 2/3 of your higher education if you desire to go. And she said, "Well, this might be an opportunity for me to also get additional academic knowledge." So she got a 4-year degree in business. John Deere paid for 2/3 of it. She was a welder and made great money. And so she paid the other third of it. And so now she is a welder. She's got all the academic knowledge, technical and professional skills. She's 24, been there 5 years. She's got a 4-year degree in business. She has no debt. And she is moving from an hourly worker to a salaried worker. So for her, she found all the avenues and the unconventional ways to get where she wants to go. And there are millions of Megans out there who will find ways to get wherever it is they want to go. And I think that's the power of apprenticeships and certifications and licensures and lots of ways to start walking down whatever your light at the end of the tunnel is.
I mean, her story just illustrates everything we've been talking about, really. It really just illustrates it. And this is, whether it's for apprenticeships, whether it's for workforce training, whether it's for licensure, it doesn't really matter. It just brings everything together.
It does. And I talk about Megan when I travel.
Yeah. Wonderful story. Absolutely wonderful story. I feel proud of her, and I don't even know who she is.
I'm proud of her too, and I wish I could find her.
Yeah. Well, I think I have covered the waterfront in terms of what, you know, how I want. Ray, do you have anything you want to ask Mr. Perna about?
So I think you both did a great job. A lot of the things I kind of had on my docket, you guys covered. But I did want to say this, Mr. Perna, because I felt like I was one of those students that you was talking about. You know, I'm a millennial. I went to college for 4 years, and I studied the topic, and I kind of in a career that's not, well, let me say this. I got to college, and I didn't know what I wanted to do, and I discovered the career path that I wanted to take while I was in college, and now I'm not even, I don't exercise that degree too much, but I did find my passion in the work that I do now. So when you were talking about, you know, getting that right and inspiring the passion before, I know you touched on internships and apprentices, but is there conversations that parents can have before students get to that point to kind of figure out what that person, young person's passion or purpose is?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we start conversations incorrectly in this country. You know, part of the challenge for people your age and younger is that, you know, adults tend to ask these questions. So what do you want to do with the rest of your life? You know, what are you passionate about? The problem is that some of them aren't passionate about anything yet because they don't know. And they're afraid because we have, to some degree, we have vilified failure in this country, and they don't want to fail. So many of them don't even walk down the tunnel towards a light at all. They're daunted by the journey in and of itself. And so part of unleashing their passion, purpose, and performance has to do with, you know, is starting the conversation again based on lifestyle first. I've had parents who write me, because I talk about that in my book. And then I also, on my website, markcperna.com, sees my middle initial, markcperna.com, I talk about, there's a free resource in the resource section. It's a parent-child career conversation starter. And it's a few pages that I put together a summer ago, and I worked hard with my team to create the framework to have that conversation. So if you're a parent with someone in their 20s, teens, or even 8 or 9, it kind of goes through the importance of framing the conversation as a lifestyle conversation. Because I've had people email me and go, "What a game changer!" So I used to ask my kid, "What do they want to do?" And what kind of a career do they want? And they would look at me like deer in the headlights. But when you start the conversation of, well, what kind of a lifestyle do you want? You know, where do you want to live? You know, what would you like to be able to do? What kind of experiences would you like to have? If you start having those conversations, they'll talk all day about that. You know, most kids will talk all day, but like, hey, I would love to, you know, play video games. I would love to go on vacations. I would love to see the world. I would love to do X, Y, or Z. And once you start them down that conversation and you let that conversation go for a while in multiple sittings, you can then dovetail that into a career conversation. You can then say, how are you going to fund that? I mean, you know, it's going to take money to be able to pull that together. How, you know, what kinds of things do you like potentially to do? And how can you fund that lifestyle that you see, which I think seems so fun? You know, I mean, so the more you come at it from that perspective, again, the reason why you get a career is to fund the lifestyle you want to have. And we forget that part of the conversation all the time.
Yeah, we most certainly do. And because the conversations that I had in many places of the world, you know, when it comes to that young teenager transitioning into adulthood, is sometimes so fraught and so tense. And so people end up in tears, and it becomes, oh, you don't understand. You know, you don't want me here. Oh, it's just, oh, man.
And the pressure on young people today to achieve at a high level is extraordinary. Young people today, I've talked to more superintendents at districts across this country and all kinds of districts, big, small, rural, city, you know, metro, urban, and I've talked to them. And one of the things, one of the threads I'm hearing more and more and more is that they cannot hire social workers and psychologists, school psychologists, fast enough. That the issues and the challenges that young people are having, whether it's social, is just extraordinary. Now, I don't have white paper data on any of this. This is all just, you know, through my conversations with folks, and I say, how's it going? They're like, man, we just hired a third, a fourth, a fifth, you know, psychologist on staff to talk with students because we have just, I mean, kids are dealing with, you know, parents who are addicted and parents who are, you know, not together and parents who are, you know, abusive and parents who aren't even in the picture and parents who are incarcerated. So, you know, all of these issues that they're dealing with, and then, you know, we expect them to come to school and learn. So it's a tough landscape out there for young people today. And that's why I really wrote, you know, the book, was to get people to understand at the fundamental levels that this generation, these two generations, anyone 39 and younger, are extraordinary. And how you connect, engage, and answer their why will determine how far they will go down their tunnel towards a light at the end of the tunnel. And it's remarkable.
Well, I think that with that one sentence, that's just the nutshell, really. It's how you start the conversation with someone, and that really determines everything else. It's been a fascinating morning, fascinating conversation. Thank you so much, Mr. Berner. It's really been nice talking to you.
Oh, it's been wonderful, Lago. It's been my honor. I wish you well. I wish you both well in your journeys as you continue to try to make a difference every day. I support you 100%.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Berner.
Thank you for listening to A Conversation with Mark Perna, featuring Lango Dean and Rayondin Kennedy, presented by CCG Digital.